The Physician's Work, A Cure of Souls. Every medical practitioner may, through faith in Christ, have in his possession a cure of the highest value, a remedy for the sin-sick soul. The physician who is converted and sanctified through the truth is registered in heaven as a laborer together with God, a follower of Jesus Christ. Through the sanctification of the truth, God gives to physicians and nurses wisdom and skill in treating the sick, and this work is opening the fast-closed door to many hearts. Men and women are led to understand the truth which is needed to save the soul as well as the body. This is an element that gives character to the work for this time. The medical missionary work is as the right arm to the third angel's message, which must be proclaimed to a fallen world. And physicians, managers, and workers in any line, enacting faithfully their part, are doing the work of the message. From them, the sound of the truth will go forth to every kindred, tongue, and people. In this work, the heavenly angels bear a part. They awaken spiritual joy and melody in the hearts of those who have been freed from suffering, and thanksgiving to God arises from the lips of many who have received the precious truth. Every physician in our ranks should be a Christian. Only those physicians who are genuine Bible Christians can discharge aright the high duties of their profession. The physician who understands the responsibilities and accountability of his position will feel the necessity of Christ's presence with him in his work for those for whom such a sacrifice has been made. He will subordinate everything to the higher interests which concern the life that may be saved unto life eternal. He will do all in his power to save both the body and the soul. He will try to do the work that Christ would do were he in his place. The physician who loves the souls for whom Christ died will seek earnestly to bring into the sick room a leaf from the tree of life. He will try to break the bread of life to the sufferer. Notwithstanding the obstacles and difficulties to be met, this is the solemn, sacred work of the medical profession. True missionary work is that which the Savior's work is best represented, his methods most closely copied, his glory best promoted. Missionary work that falls short of this standard is recorded in heaven as defective. It is weighed in the balances of the sanctuary and found wanting. Physicians should seek to direct the minds of their patients to Christ, the great physician of soul and body. That which physicians can only attempt to do, Christ accomplishes. The human agent strives to prolong life. Christ is life itself. He who passed through death to destroy him that had the power of death is the source of all vitality. There is a balm in Gilead and a physician there. Christ endured an agonizing death under the most humiliating circumstances that we might have life. He gave up his precious life that he might vanquish death. But he rose from the tomb, and the myriads of angels who came to behold him take up the life he had laid down, heard his words of triumphant joy as he stood above the rent sepulchre of Joseph, proclaiming, "I am the resurrection and the life." The question, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Job 14, verse 14, has been answered. By bearing the penalty of sin, by going down into the grave, Christ has brightened the tomb for all who die in faith. God in human form has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In dying, he condemned the originator of sin and disloyalty to suffer the penalty of sin, eternal death. The possessor and giver of eternal life, Christ was the only one who could conquer death. He is our Redeemer, and blessed is every physician who is in a true sense of the word, a missionary, a savior of the souls for whom Christ gave his life. Such a physician learns day by day from the great physician how to watch and work for the saving of the souls and bodies of men and women. The Savior is present in the sick room, in the operating room, and his power for his name's glory accomplishes great things. The physician can do a noble work if he is connected with the great physician. To the relatives of the sick, whose hearts are full of sympathy for the sufferer, he may find opportunity to speak the words of life, and he can soothe and uplift the mind of the sufferer by leading him to look to the one who can save to the uttermost all who come to him for salvation.
When the Spirit of God works on the mind of the afflicted one, leading him to inquire for truth, let the physician work for the precious soul as Christ would work for it. Do not urge upon him any special doctrine, but point him to Christ as the sin-pardoning Savior. Angels of God will impress the mind. Some will refuse to be illuminated by the light which God would let shine into the chambers of the mind and into the soul temple. But many will respond to the light, and from these minds, deception and error in its various forms will be swept away. Every opportunity of working as Christ worked should be carefully improved. The physician should talk of the works of healing wrought by Christ, of his tenderness and love. He should believe that Jesus is his companion, close by his side. We are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Never should the physician neglect to direct the minds of his patients to Christ. If he has the Savior abiding in his own heart, his thoughts will ever be directed to the great healer of soul and body. He will lead the minds of sufferers to him who can restore, who, when on earth, restored the sick to health and healed the soul as well as the body, saying, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Mark 2, verse 5. Never should familiarity with suffering cause the physician to become careless or unsympathetic. In cases of dangerous illness, the afflicted one feels that he is at the mercy of the physician. He looks to that physician as his only hope, and that physician should ever point the trembling soul to one who is greater than himself, even the Son of God, who gave his life to save him from death, who pities the sufferer, and who by his divine power will give skill and wisdom to all who ask him. When the patient knows not how his case will turn, is the time for the physician to impress the mind. He should not do this with a desire to distinguish himself, but that he may point the soul to Christ as a personal Savior. If the life is spared, there is a soul for that physician to watch for. The patient feels that the physician is the very life of his life. And to what purpose should all this weight of confidence be employed? Always to win a soul to Christ and magnify the power of God. When the crisis has passed and success is apparent, be the patient a believer or an unbeliever, let a few moments be spent with him in prayer. Give expression to your thankfulness for the life that has been spared. The physician who follows such a course carries his patient to the one upon whom he is dependent for life. Words of gratitude may flow from the patient to the physician, for through God he has bound his life up with his own. But let the praise and thankfulness be given to God as to one who is present, though invisible. On the sickbed, Christ is often accepted and confessed, and this will be done oftener in the future than it has been in the past, for a quick work will the Lord do in the world. Words of wisdom are to be on the lips of the physician, and Christ will water the seed sown, causing it to bring forth fruit unto eternal life. Our sanitariums are to be a blessing to high and low, rich and poor. Men and women are brought together in these institutions, and they become acquainted with one another. They learn to sympathize with their fellow sufferers, and thus the partition wall between man and his fellow men is broken down. Those who visit the sanitarium are to be taught the power of God in the restoration of the sick. This will make an impression on the mind that God is in the place. It is God's purpose that those who visit our health institution shall become acquainted with the third angel's message. Though doctrinal subjects are not to be urged upon the sick, yet if these truths are lived out, the Spirit of God will bring conviction to hearts, and the faithful guardian of souls will understand when the opportunity has come to present the special truth for this time. We lose the most precious opportunities by neglecting to speak a word in season. Too often, a precious talent that ought to produce a thousandfold is left unused. If the golden privilege is not watched for, it will pass. Something was allowed to prevent the physician from doing his appointed work as a minister of righteousness. There are none too many godly physicians to minister in their profession. There is much work to be done, and ministers and doctors are to work in perfect union. Luke, the writer of the gospel that bears his name, is called the beloved physician, and those who do a work similar to that which he did are living out the gospel.
Our camp meeting should have the labors of medical men. These should be men of wisdom and sound judgment, men who respect the ministry of the word and who are not victims of unbelief. These men are the guardians of the health of the people, and they are to be recognized and respected. They should give instruction to the people in regard to dangers of intemperance. This evil must be more boldly met in the future than it has been in the past. Ministers and doctors should set forth the evils of intemperance. Both should work in the gospel in perfect harmony, with power to condemn sin and exalt righteousness. Countless are the opportunities of the physician for warning the impenitent, cheering the disconsolate and hopeless, and wisely prescribing for the health of mind and body. As he thus instructs the people in the principles of true temperance, and as a guardian of souls gives advice to those who are mentally and physically diseased, the physician is acting his part in the great work of making ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is what medical missionary work is to accomplish in its relation to the third angel's message. At our camp meeting, practical physicians can give instructions line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. These ministers or doctors who do not open their lips to make personal appeals to the people are remiss in their duty. They fail of doing the work which God has appointed them. Ministers and physicians are to work harmoniously, with earnestness, to save souls that are becoming entangled in Satan's snare. They are to point men and women to Jesus, their righteousness, their strength, and the health of their countenance. Continually, they are to watch for souls. There are those who are struggling with strong temptations, in danger of being overcome in the fight with satanic agencies. Will you pass these by without offering them assistance? If you see a soul in need of help, engage in conversation with him, even though you do not know him. Pray with him. Point him to Jesus. This work belongs just as surely to the doctor as to the minister. By public and private effort, the physician should seek to win souls to Christ. In all our enterprises and in all our institutions, God is to be acknowledged as the great master worker. The physicians are to stand as his representatives. The medical fraternity have made many reforms, and they should rise still higher. Those who hold the lives of human beings in their hands should be educated, refined, sanctified. Then will the Lord work through them in mighty power to glorify his name. He will reveal himself as the healer of the body and the soul. Dangers and duties of the physicians and the medical missionary. The fourth chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians contains lessons given us by God. In this chapter, one speaks under the inspiration of God, one to whom in holy vision God had given instruction. He describes the distribution of God's gifts to his workers as saying, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. Here we are shown that God gives to every man his work, and in doing this work, man is fulfilling his part of God's great plan. This lesson should be carefully considered by our physicians and medical missionaries. God establishes his instrumentalities among a people who recognize the laws of the divine government. The sick are to be healed through the combined effort of the human and divine. Every gift, every power that Christ promised his disciples, he bestows upon those who will serve him faithfully. And he who gives mental capabilities and who entrusts talents to the men and women who are his by creation and by redemption expects that these talents and these capabilities shall be increased by use. Every talent must be employed in blessing others and thus bringing honor to God. But physicians have been led to suppose that their capabilities were their own individual property. The powers given them for God's work they have used in branching out into lines of work to which God has not appointed them. Satan works every moment to find an opportunity for stealing in. He tells the physician that his talents are too valuable to be bound up among Seventh-day Adventists, that if he were free, he could do a large work. The physician is tempted to feel that he has methods which he can carry independent of the people for whom God has wrought, that he might place them above every other people on the face of the earth. But let not the physician feel that his influence would increase if he should separate himself from this work. Should he attempt to carry out his plans, he would not meet with success. Selfishness, introduced in any degree into ministerial or medical work, is an infraction of the law of God. When men glory in their capabilities and cause the praise of men to flow to finite beings, they dishonor God, and he will remove that in which they glory. The physician, connected with our sanitariums and medical missionary work, have by God's providence been bound to this people, whom he has commanded to be a light to the world. Their work is to give all that the Lord has given them. To give, not as one influence among many, but as the influence through God to make effective the truth for this time. God has committed to us a special work, a work that no other people can do. He has promised us the aid of the Holy Spirit. The heavenly current is flowing earthward for the accomplishment of the very work appointed us. But this heavenly current is turned aside by our many diversions from the straightforward path marked out by Christ. Man's disregard of the Lord's instruction robs us of the strength he longs to impart. Physicians are not to suppose that they can compass the world by their plans and efforts. God has not set them to embrace so much with their own labors merely. The man who invests his powers in many lines of work cannot take in hand the management of a sanitarium and do it justice. If the Lord's workers take up lines of work which crowd out that which should be done by them in communicating light to the world, God does not receive through their labors the glory that should accrue to his holy name. When God calls a man to do a certain work in his cause, he does not also lay upon him burdens that other men can and should bear. The Lord does not want the minds of his responsible men strained to the utmost point of endurance by taking up many lines of work. All these lines may be essential, but God apportions to every man his duty according to his wisdom. If the worker does not take up his appointed work, that which the Lord sees is the very thing he is fitted to do, he is neglecting duties which, if properly executed, would result in the promulgation of the truth and would prepare men for the great crisis before us. God cannot give in greatest measure either physical or mental power to those who gather to themselves burdens which he has not appointed. When men take upon themselves such responsibilities, however good the work may be, their physical strength is overtaxed, their minds become confused, and they cannot attain the highest success. Physicians in our institutions should not engage in numerous enterprises, and thus allow the work which should stand upon right principles and exert a worldwide influence to flag. God has not set his co-laborers to embrace so many things, to make such large plans that they fail in their allotted place of accomplishing the great good he expects them to do in diffusing light to the world, in drawing men and women to where he is leading by his supreme wisdom. The enemy has determined to counterwork the designs of God to benefit humanity in revealing to them what constitutes true medical missionary work. So many interests have been brought in that the workers cannot do all things according to the pattern shown in the Mount. I have been instructed that the work appointed to physicians is enough for them to do, and what the Lord required of them was to link up closely with the gospel missionaries and do their work with faithfulness. He has not asked our physicians to embrace so large and varied a work as some have undertaken. He has not made it the special work of our physicians to go into the worst dens of iniquity in our large cities. The Lord does not require impossibilities of men. The work which he gave to our physicians was to symbolize to the world the ministry of the gospel in medical missionary work. The Lord does not lay upon his people all the burden of laboring for a class so hardened by sin that many of them will neither be benefited themselves nor benefit others. If there are men who can take up the work of laboring for the most degraded, if God lays upon them a burden to labor for the masses in various ways, let these go forth and gather from the world the means required for doing this work. Let them not depend on the means which God intends shall sustain the work of the third angel's message.
Our sanitariums need the power of brain and heart, of which they are being robbed by another line of work. Everything that Satan can do, he will do to multiply the responsibilities of our physicians, for he knows that this means weakness instead of strength to the institutions with which they are connected. Great consideration must be exercised in the work which we undertake. We are not to take large burdens in the care of infant children. This work is being done by others. We have a special work in caring for and educating the children more advanced in years. Let families who can do so adopt the little ones, and they will receive a blessing in so doing. But there is a higher and more important work to engage the attention of our physicians in educating those who have grown up with deformed characters. The principles of health reform must be brought before parents. They must be converted that they may work as missionaries in their own homes. This work our physicians have done and can still do if they will not sacrifice themselves by carrying such large responsibilities. The head physician in any institution holds a difficult position, and he should keep himself free from minor responsibilities, for these will give him no time to rest. He should have sufficient help, for he has trying work to perform. He must bow in prayer with the suffering ones and lead his patients to the great physician. If, as a humble suppliant, he seeks God for wisdom to deal with each case, his strength and influence will be greatly increased. Of himself, what can man accomplish in the great work set forth by the infinite God? Christ says, "Without me ye can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. He came to our world to show men how to do the work given them by God. And he says to us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in the heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. Why is Christ's yoke easy and his burden light? Because he bore the weight of it upon the cross of Calvary. Personal religion is essential for every physician if he would be successful in his work for the sick. He needs a power greater than his own intuition and skill. God desires physicians to link up with him and know that every soul is precious in his sight. He who depends upon God, realizing that he alone who made man knows how to direct, will not fail in his appointed work as a healer of bodily infirmities, or as physician of the souls for whom Christ gave his life. One who bears the heavy responsibilities of the physician needs the prayers of the gospel minister, and he should be linked, soul, body, and mind, with the truth of God. Then he can speak a word in season to the afflicted. He can watch for souls as one who must give an account. He can present Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. The scriptures come clearly to his mind, and he speaks as one who knows the value of the souls with whom he is dealing.